So hello and welcome. This is Erica Glessing, and you are joining me for The Erica Glessing Show, where you receive 8 minutes of daily inspiration for entrepreneurs and lightworkers. My next guest is both, and she's just so much fun, and we're not going to talk about sex, but we're going to talk about a lot of things that are tied into that same kind of category. So I'm going to introduce you to Saida. I'm a Desolée.
Did I get it right?
Oh my gosh, I don't usually have to work that hard. So Saida, she really wants to inspire you into a succulence revolution, and she likes to dare you to live bigger in your desires. So Saida, why don't we just start with this whole thing about desire? How did this topic become something that you wanted to, you know, help people around?
Thank you so much, Erica. Such a pleasure to be here, first of all, and really great to meet all your listeners. And desire is something that affects us all. It touches our bodies, it touches our hearts, and it can drive us crazy. It can make us, you know, with ache, with yearning, it can excite us, and it can, you know, feel atrocious at times. So I thought, well, I want to look at desire. Is it an emergent experience of a human being, or is it something really weird? Because, you know, with religion and old ideas around desire, it sometimes has a bad rep.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like I'm the mother to three teens, and I notice that there's a lot of pushing down your desire and not an unwillingness to experience desire, like afraid of, I don't know, it seems like there's a fear like something will blow up or something will go crazy or something will be out of control. What can you do if you're worried, if you do have a lot of desire, that it might just do that?
Yeah, you are so awesome. I just have to say that. Okay, so let's just go into how I see desire, and then I'm going to answer your question. So desire to me, if our essence, the essence of our being, could speak to us and, like a compass, lead us in our lives very clearly, this is where you need to go to live a fulfilling life, it would speak to us through the voice of desire. And we feel desire as a yearning. We feel it. It's a visceral sensation. And so that's how I see desire. It's actually the most amazing compass that we all have that can help us navigate life to really living the one that is the most fulfilling for us personally. So that's one thing. Unfortunately, this society that we live in really benefits from hijacking that natural impulse and kind of conditioning us and telling us what we should desire. And when we pursue those things, often we don't feel very good about ourselves. We end up jaded or feeling unfulfilled. And then as with time, we go less and less for our desires. And then this is weird because, you know, on one end we're selling desire and on the other end we're terrified of it. And so we tell people it's wrong and it's bad and it's dirty and it's sinful. So what I'm suggesting is let's get out of that polarity and let's actually remember that desire is our own personal calling. And so when something emerges in our heart, is it really true to us? Does it deeply matter? Or for a second, is it mattering to someone or something else?
I love that. I love that question. I think it's really fascinating to me when I look at how, and actually this is a book that just came out, The Lightness of Choosing You. And it really from almost day one, you're taught to mask what you truly feel. So if you're sad, you're crying. Well, don't cry. You know, if you get too joyful, you know, stop jumping around. You know, I've seen these parents and their kid will be so excited to do something and they'll start kind of, you know, bouncing around. And the parents quickly like, you know, oh, don't move, you know, sit still. And I wonder how our desires even survive those upbringings, you know. And the other thing, just listening to your name, Saida, what is your cultural background and has that played a role in your awareness of this topic?
Absolutely. Great question. So I'm French Canadian born. and I was raised on a Native reservation in Canada. So I definitely desire as a French Canadian is a big thing because we love fun and we love pleasure and we love delight. We love good tasting food. We love to dance. We love to sing. So there's this freedom. But then I grew up on a reservation with Native people who are incredibly, it's difficult, the life on a reservation. There's a lot of sexual abuse and other kinds of abuse. And so my little tiny home life was this great, joyous place of freedom. I was allowed to, you know, my parents never destroyed my erotic innocence. They just taught me boundaries. I had this very healthy, insular little family life. But then when I'd step out with friends, they were terrified. Mm. Their bodies terrified. Wow. Of even, like you said, being joyous or hugging or singing. So yes, definitely my upbringing has had influence on this topic.
Tell me a little bit about your first book and what that was like. Tell us the name of that book. I know you have one coming, but why don't we share with people where they can read your first book?
Great. Yeah. So it's on Amazon, on Kindle and Kobo and Nook. I think it's on all of those books. It's called The Emergence of the Sensual Woman. The subtitle is Awakening Our Erotic Innocence. And that book has two parts to it. The first part is a philosophy called The Art of Succulent Living. How do we live in this world that basically wants us to shrivel up and die, you know, and maintain a juiciness and maintain an aliveness despite the culture, but in harmony so that we're not creating chaos, but we're creating more vitality, more inspiration, more beauty in our lives. And then there's a practical section of the book where I teach a ton of exercises. And even though it's a woman's book, a lot of boyfriends and husbands have read it and have written to me and thanked me profusely for the book. So it's definitely a read for anyone who's interested in conscious womanhood.
So tell me a little bit about this term erotic genius. And I've seen that term around on your website and things. Tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean?
So erotic, a lot of us will associate that with eroticism and sexuality. I have the Greek version of the word for me is that which animates life. So it's your aliveness. So erotic genius is the part of your own intelligence that is solely concerned with how alive are you? How switched on? Because in my reality, we're either switched off or we're switched on. There's no gray. You're either on or you're off. It's a switch. And so erotic genius, the only thing it cares about is making sure that you're constantly switched on, which is a very hard thing to do in a culture that doesn't understand that aliveness isn't solely an act that needs to happen in sex, that it can happen everywhere.
You know, I could actually interview you, I think, for like 3 or 4 hours. Like, I could do like 5 summit interviews with you, but we're going to head into our 8 minutes. So why don't you just let people know some next steps or maybe a quiz or what can you share with people that they might find fun?
Yeah, right now I'm inviting, it's unfortunately only for women right now, but you can come in for free for a few weeks. It's called The Daring Project, and you literally just go to thedaringproject.com, and you'll see me on a cute little video, and I'm basically going to invite you to come in and explore this daring nature, and it's so much fun. It's a global community, very dynamic, a lot of intelligent and curious women within the community, and we have a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming, Saida.
Thank you so much, Erica.